And so we are doing foundations class right now, which is the very first class in this philosophy that is the foundation, really, of everything that we teach. And so this week, we were teaching the concept of affirmative prayer or spiritual mind treatment and what that is and how to do it. And so the very core of affirmative prayer, the very foundation of affirmative prayer, is the recognition and the realization that there is only one power and one presence and one life, and that is God. And so not only do we live and move and have our being within that presence, but that we are actually individualized expressions of that one. That we are individuations of that presence here in form on planet Earth. And so that's what Spinoza, the great philosopher, meant when he said, all creation is an extension of the I am. And that's what Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, meant when he says that everything that we can see, everything in this material world is spirit in form. And so that means then that we are of that same essence as that infinite presence, that we are made of God stuff. We are made in the image of that one, the microcosm of the macrocosm, endowed with all the qualities that spirit contains. And so it's like a drop of water in the ocean. You know, that drop of water in the ocean is immersed in and surrounded by the whole of the ocean. And that one drop in that ocean contains all the qualities of the ocean. It contains the hydrogen and the oxygen and the salt and the different minerals. And because it is of that same substance, then it has the same qualities. That drop has the qualities of slipperiness and wetness, just like, and saltiness, just like the rest of the ocean does. That is how we are. That drop has the same characteristics as the whole of the ocean because it is part of that ocean. It comes from and is part of. And so that one presence that we speak of, that is life itself, contains within itself boundlessness. It contains within itself infinite potential and boundless creativity and love and peace and harmony and intelligence and wholeness. That means then that we contain within ourselves infinite potential and creativity and love and peace and harmony and intelligence and wholeness. Those qualities are a part of our makeup. They are a part of our essential nature and who we are. And so the title of my talk today is, Who Are You? And I'm actually talking about just that. I'm talking about the fact that wholeness is our own nature, that wholeness is what we are made of. And that not just is that the case, but as we identify with that, as we identify with that wholeness, with that presence, what happens is it creates an opening within us for that wholeness to express itself. As we identify with it, it enables that presence of wholeness to express in a greater way in us and through us and in our lives and as our lives. And so as wholeness expresses in its fullness, the result is healing. Healing of dis-ease, healing of disharmony. The problem is that we have been indoctrinated to believe that we are our bodies, that we are our thoughts, that we are our feelings. We say things like, I am tired. When in reality, I am experiencing tiredness. We say, I'm confused, like we are our thoughts. I am experiencing confusion, the I who I am. We say, I am crabby. I'm experiencing being crabby. That's not who I am. None of those things are who you are. We have been taught to believe that we are primarily physical beings with a spirit, instead of the fact that we are spiritual beings inhabiting a body that is also imbued with wholeness and intelligence and creativity and order. We have been taught that we are separate and apart from that presence, that infinite one. We have been taught that God is up in heaven and we are down here on earth. But even in the Bible, it says, behold, the kingdom is within. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is within you. Not in one spot within you, but in all of you. It permeates all of who you are. We also picked up these ideas from when we were kids that somehow we aren't enough. That somehow we are less than. That somehow something is wrong with us or that we are not deserving. We have picked up those ideas in our childhood, but still there are times when we operate out of those beliefs. We also live in this collective idea of humanity that we are limited human beings, that we are limited by our past and by our experiences and by our gender and by our age, when in reality, every single year, all of those limitations that we put on ourselves as human beings are broken. They are broken through every single year. Every year in sports, you see records that have said, this is how fast a human being can run, that people break those records and run faster every year, swim faster, jump further. Those limitations that we think that we are. You know, I read a long time ago, and I've shared this with you, it's so amazing. There was a time when women in the Olympics were only allowed to spin one time on the ice when they were ice skating because it was believed that that's all women could do. We see records broken in speed skating and in jumping. All of those things say to me, we aren't limited by our past, and we aren't limited by the experiences that we have had in the past. You aren't limited by your gender. None of us are. Do you know that Spain has now elected a majority female cabinet? That 11 of the 17 of their cabinet are women? We are not limited by our age. There's a story that I read this week that says, it's nothing short of inspirational to have the opportunity to speak with Ida Keeling, 102-year-old world record-holding runner and author of Can't Nothing Bring Me Down. Keeling's story is filled with incredible eyewitness accounts of key moments in American history, including growing up during the Great Depression, serving as a leader in the Civil Rights Movement, and raising four children on her own in a single-room apartment while she worked in a factory. Keeling also shares great sadness of her life, the brutal murder of her two sons when she was in her 60s. It was at that low point in her life that she actually got to put on her running shoes after her daughter suggested that running might offer her some solace in her grief. Keeling entered her first race when she was 67, set a world record at 95, and is the first woman in history to complete a 100-meter run at the age of 100. On February 24th, Keeling set a world record in the 60-meter dash event with an impressive race time of 58 minutes and 34 seconds in the 100 to 104-year-old age group. We tell ourselves that we are limited by our gender and our age and all sorts of things. But the truth is, none of those things are who you are. You aren't your feelings and you aren't your thought and you're not your body and you're not your emotions and you're not your age and you're not your gender. You're not an American. You are an outpicturing of that divine presence. You are the infinite one in form. You are a godling. God here expressing itself as you. I know that every single one of us, we want to experience our wholeness. And we want to experience our enoughness. We want to and we need to move beyond our past experiences and past limitations. We want to experience our innate power and that boundless creativity that lives within us. We want to experience good health and harmony in our relationships and love in our lives and peace within ourselves. Recognizing and embodying the fact that we already possess those qualities within us allows them to express within us in a greater way. Recognizing that we already possess wholeness and peace and power and love and creativity and harmony, like an acorn already possesses within itself the oak tree, when we recognize that we already have all of those things within us in potential, it moves us into a place of freedom from our self-imposed limitations. The limitations that we've made up in our minds about what we can do and what we can have and how we can be in this world. And in turn, as we move out of and step beyond those limitations, we experience greater health and we experience greater harmony in our relationships and we experience more peace in our lives. When that idea becomes real in our thinking and becomes real in our feeling, then it becomes real in our lives and in our experience. And so Alan Cohen tells a story that reminds me of this, said in a different way. He says, "A short time after I bought a new car, I noticed that its radio was picking up just a few stations out of the many in my area. I adjusted some knobs and dials with no improvement. After a while, I gave up and decided that I would have to take the car to the dealer for repair. When I arrived home that evening, I approached my garage and realized that the last time I pulled into the garage and then out again, that I had lowered the antenna on my car. The bottom of my garage door, when in the open position, hung down several inches below the height of the upraised antenna. To negotiate the space, I had lowered the length of my antenna by about a foot. The next time I drove the car, I raised the antenna to its full height and instantly picked up a lot of stations. I was amazed by the huge difference in receptivity that a foot of height made. This small but crucial difference symbolizes how much more wisdom, life, and love are available to you when you raise your antenna of perception to its full height. You may complain about a lack of money, friends, available relationship partners, or jobs, but they may all be out there. You just might not have your antenna raised high enough to be aware of them. The way to change the world is not by rearranging people and events. True world transformation begins with shifting your perception. If you are seeking answers or inner peace and you cannot find them, you need not scour the earth. That would be like driving your car with a lowered antenna to many different cities in search of radio stations. What is being broadcast is right where you stand. Your role is to receive. Through our belief, we raise our antenna. Through our focus on that presence that is always right where we are, in us, in our lives, through our lives, as the infinite potential that it is, we raise our antenna. And so affirmative prayer that we taught this week, that we call spiritual mind treatment, it is a tool. Affirmations and affirmative prayer are tools that help us convince ourselves of the spiritual truth. They help us remind ourselves of who we are. And as we are reminded of that and we remember that, it removes us from any sense of separation between us and the allness of God. And so in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes says, "We cannot demonstrate," that means manifest something, "we cannot demonstrate beyond our ability to mentally embody an idea. The argument, the one that we have inside of ourselves through spiritual mind treatment, the argument is between our experience, what the world believes, and what we are convinced is the truth." We are reminding ourselves in spiritual practice of the truth, that there is only one power and one presence and one life, and that is God's life, and that's the life that we are living. That's the thing that fills us and fills our lives. And so here's the thing, regardless of what you have experienced in your life, regardless of what trauma you have gone through or how you've been injured or hurt, there is a pattern of wholeness within you. There is a pattern of wholeness within you that is held in the mind of God as who you are. That pattern of wholeness is who you are. That pattern of wholeness never changes. Wholeness is your essence. Like that pattern of the oak tree exists in the acorn. That pattern of wholeness is your own essence. And so the key then is to identify ourselves with that presence, to identify ourselves with boundlessness, to recognize that our life is the life of the divine, to make space for that in our thinking and in our perception and in our reality. That changes our vibratory resonance so that we resonate with that which we are seeking to bring into our lives, so that we resonate with love and peace and harmony and wholeness, so that it can unfold through us and through our lives. We create an opening as we do that. We create an opening for that to flow where we have been blocking the flow previous to that remembering through our negative focus and our negative thinking and our unbelief. So it changes our thinking so that we can be open. And so Ernest Holmes also says in the Science of Mind textbook, "Prayer does something to the mind of the one praying. It does not do anything to God. The eternal gift is already made. The gift of God is the nature of God, the eternal givingness. God cannot help making the gift because God is the gift." And he goes on to say, "If prayer has been answered, it is not because God has been moved to answer one man and not another, but because one man, more than another, has moved himself into right relationship with the Spirit or the principle of being." In our affirmative prayer, we move ourselves into right relationship with Spirit so that we can be conduits for the good. And so affirmative prayer changes our focus. It changes our focus from what isn't working to the truth that that infinite potential of the divine is right here, right now. It changes our focus from what isn't working to the truth that love and peace and beauty are right here, right now. It changes our focus from what isn't working to the truth that intelligence and order and perfection are right here, right now. Present within us, present within our lives, present within our experience, present in our lives and through our lives and as our lives, as our bodies, as our affairs. Expressing fully right now, right where we are. That's what the spiritual practice does. It's like turning on a light. When you turn on the light, the darkness disappears. You don't have to do anything to the darkness. You don't have to fight the darkness. As we turn on the light, the darkness dissipates. We turn on the light through spiritual practice and through affirmative prayer. In that light, dis-ease and disharmony dissipate just like the darkness does. And so my invitation to you this week is to use affirmations and to use affirmative prayer and to sit in meditation and to do spiritual study so that you might really feel and know and recognize that that presence is always right where you are. So that you might embody the truth that the infinite potential of the divine is your own divine essence. That it is the fabric of your life. So that you might recognize that that one presence is everything. It is all there is. Because it is that which is expressing as everything. So you might recognize the stuff of the divine is the stuff that you are made of. It's the stuff that your life is made of, and it is the stuff that animates that intelligence, that life force that animates everything in your life. And as a result of that recognition and that realization and that felt sense, healing of dis-ease and healing of disharmony is what will happen in your life. As a result, you'll be stepping into that flow of boundless good so that you might experience it to a greater degree. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path of self-discovery, of discovering who you really are, of discovering what this life is that you are living, none other than the life of God. And so blessings to all of you. And so I invite you right now to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so how good it is to take my focus off of this material realm, this realm of form that is already old causation that has solidified itself, and instead to turn my attention and my focus and my energy and my anticipation to the truth of this infinite one, this infinite power and this infinite presence that fills all of time and all of space with its beingness, this one life that is the creative force of the universe, that is boundless creativity itself, this one power and this one presence that is the essence of love and of peace and of infinite potential and of good. That this is the presence that we live and move and have our beingness within. And it is this presence that fills our lives. It is this presence that fills our bodies. Every cell and every fiber of our being is imbued with this energy and this intelligence and this perfection. That this is the only animating force in this universe, and we and everything around us, we are outpicturings of this one. And so like rays of the sun, we are continuously sourced by that one, by the allness and the fullness and the wholeness of God. For we are like rays of that sun, here emanations of the divine, here giving way to that presence in a way that is so beautiful, in a way that is so magnificent. For this presence is magnificence itself. And so today I know that there is a stepping in and an opening up and a knowingness that we are indeed inseparable from this one. For it is the very essence and fabric of us. There is something that knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that this has always been the truth. That we have always been this presence in form. And so I recognize it is in this recognition that shifts are happening in our lives, that good is unfolding in a greater way, that everything that has looked up until now like disharmony or dis-ease in this light, healing is happening. Healing of any sense of separation from the good or the peace or the love or the creativity. That this presence is all there really is, and we are it. And so it is with a grateful heart that I release this prayer into the creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself now because we have opened ourselves to it and because it is the truth. And so I release this prayer. I am so grateful for this truth, so grateful for this life. And I say, and so it is.